Amen and amen. Raise a hallelujah. I was reminded of who I was talking about in the prayer earlier about Jehoshaphat, and that heard the enemy was coming against him. And so he immediately went to the Lord and said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but we know that you know what to do." So he brought the people together, and they began to pray. And there was someone stood up in the midst of the congregation and began to prophesy, "The battle is not yours, but it's God's." And then as they were heading toward the enemy to conquer them, Jehoshaphat sent out the praisers before them. And so they went out, and they was raising the hallelujah. Amen. So that's what we're doing today. We're raising the hallelujah in the midst of the enemy. Amen. Turn your Bibles this morning. We're going to read two passages of Scripture from Isaiah 22:22, Revelations 3:7. "And the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open, and no one shall shut. He shall shut, and no one shall open." Revelation 3:7. "And to the angel messenger of the assembly church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of the Holy One, the true one, he who has the key of David, who opens, no one shall shut, who shuts, and no one shall open." The title of the message today is Jesus Holds the Key. Jesus held the key. You know, he is Lord of all. And because of that, it affects every part of our life, past, present, and future. And it's all for the good. It's all for the good, because Jesus has nothing but goodness on his mind toward us. God had nothing but goodness on his mind toward us since the beginning of time. And keys represent power and authority. Jesus told the disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." He, Jesus, is the authorized one possessing the key of David, the key of power, and the key of authority. Once that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, our past is taken care of, our future is secure, and the life we live in the present, we live from the position of victory. Ephesians 1 tells us, "And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth." Through who? The one that held the key, the one that holds the key, Jesus Christ. Sounds like the past, present, and future when I read that scripture. All summed up in that one scripture there that I just read in Ephesians. Jesus, holding the key, lived his entire life by saying, "Not my will, but your will be done, Father." So let's talk about the past for a few moments. God needed a way to redeem man back for him after the fall. He sent the best gift from heaven to earth, and his name was Jesus. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He sent the best gift he had. Scripture tells us that we were separated from God in the world without hope. Romans 3:21-22 goes ahead and says it like this: "But now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the Scriptures prophesied that would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift. For there's really no difference between us. We've all sinned and are needed of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal," I love that word, we've been acquitted, declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness, all because of who? Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. Your past has been forgiven. Amen. He was God in the flesh. Jesus was God in the flesh, and only through him we're able to come justified because of that. Hallelujah. That is shouting news. Amen. That is the good news. John 14:6 says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All former sacrifices for sin would have been ineffective had they not foreshadowed and anticipated the death of Christ. He was born to die. He was here for one purpose. Amen. Hebrews 9:25-26 says, under the old system, year after year, the high priest entered the most holy sanctuary with blood that was not his own. But the Messiah did not need to repeatedly offer himself year after year, for that would mean he must suffer repeatedly ever since the fall of the world. But now he has appeared at the fulfillment of the ages to abolish sin once and for all by the sacrifice of himself. And that ought to go to show us that we can't make ourselves right. No matter how the past has been or what the past has been, when we have gotten saved, it was because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And John, 1 John 2:2 tells us, he himself is the atonement for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the whole world. Once the death of Jesus took place, all the transgressions committed under the former law were at last able to be taken away forever. That means your past sins, your present sins, and the stupid things we're going to do in the future is under the blood of Jesus. We've already been forgiven for it. Amen. It doesn't mean that we don't try to live right, but we don't do it in our own power. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So once the death of Jesus took place, all the transgressions committed under the former law were at last able to be taken away. The former law did not provide such redemption. It was works. Remember I ministered that word that it's all about works and not about relationship? That I have to do this or that in order to be accepted, in order to be forgiven? That takes away of everything that Jesus did on the cross if we try to live that way. But the law did not provide such redemption. Those that were under the law had to believe in something apart from the law and beyond it to obtain forgiveness. So the law itself could not accomplish it. But we know the one that held the key. Now that's the past. Jesus, the key holder, made a one-time sacrifice for us to be redeemed back to God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let's talk about the present for a moment. How does the resurrection have anything to do with the present? Everything. Everything. The Bible tells us that because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, he now gives us the same power that was used to bring him back from the dead so that we can live our lives every day in resurrection power. That's why we don't have the strength to do it on our own. Can't do it on our own, no matter how we try. Romans 8:11 tells us, does the spirit of the one who brought Jesus back to life live in you? If you are saved, then you can say with assurance and resounding over and over again, yes, 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 yes. Then the one who brought Christ back to life will also make your mortal bodies alive by the Spirit that lives in you. And as we read through Scripture, as we go through the Bible and we read through Scriptures, Jesus has given us the power to live a unique, one-of-a-kind life that's not a part of the lives of those who have not accepted him as Savior. So have you ever stood back, wondered sometimes how people make it that don't have Jesus? That don't have Jesus? Ephesians 1:19-20 tells us, what is the exceeding greatness of his might, of his power toward us who believe? Are you a believer today? And if so, what are you believing in? What are you standing on? according to the working. Here we go again. It's all about Jesus. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This means, church, that the same power available to us to live the Christian life in that relationship with Jesus, it's not just one-sided. You can't have a relationship, a one-sided relationship. It has to be two people involved. And we know that Jesus has already done his part. And now he said, come up here. We're going to balance this thing out. Just come up here and sit with me. His body power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So this means that we have the same power available to us today to live the Christian life that God used to bring Jesus out of that grave. If you need to be brought out of something today, you just say, Jesus is brought out of the grave, and everything that I may be going through that's causing me to die, to live in life, and to be discouraged and depressed, that same power is bringing life to me, and I speak that over you right now in the name of Jesus. For all of you that are depressed and oppressed, and things look bleak, and don't get your report from the news. Because we that are Christians believe the report of the Lord. So what is the report of the Lord? He says that we are healed. He says that we are overcomers. He says that we are more than conquerors. That same power is living in you today if you're saved. And if you're not, all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. Live big in me, Jesus. I accept what you did on Calvary. Now that is in the present time. In the present time. That is why we don't live the Christian life in our own power, our own strength. The same power available to us in our daily walk as a son and daughter of God. In the present, we depend on, lean on, call on the name of God for help in time of need. He says, cast all of your care on me, for I careth for you. Lean into me, and when you lean into me, I'll lean into you and I'll cover you. Amen. I've got you covered, God's saying to you today. I've got you covered. I've got your family covered. Keep leaning in me. Keep leaning into me. The Bible says old things in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So your past has been taken care of. Amen. All things have become new. We're living in the present of that new day. The past has been taken care of. And we've been filled with resurrection power for the life that we live in the present. The present has been taken care of because Jesus, the key holder, made it possible. Now let's look at the future. You know, not only does Christ's resurrection affect our past, present, it's the guarantee of our future. That's the guarantee that we have as believers. And it was all hinged on the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come out of the grave, we would have had no hope at all. But God had a long-range plan. And I just want you to know today, for that one that's listening today, that's given up on life and said, you know, I'm getting older and I've looked back and I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. And every time I tried, something got in the way and I just couldn't make it happen. And I just feel the Holy Spirit saying to you today, that's because you have tried to make it happen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Right now in Jesus' name, I speak peace over you. I speak peace over you. And I hear the word undecisive. You've been tossed to and fro and you can't grasp a hold of that which you know that God has placed upon your heart to do. And I'm just not talking about ministry, but I'm talking about your calling and your work part and your work area, the things you do daily. God says, stop struggling with it and lean into me. Lean into me. Lean into me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason if Jesus hadn't come out of the grave, we would have no hope at all. The reason being, if Jesus didn't do what he said he would do, which was to come back from the grave after 3 days, we couldn't believe anything else he said. Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. But Jesus did do what he promised. He's not a promise breaker, church. He is a promise keeper. And that's why we can hide his word in our heart and know that we can trust it. If he said it, he's surely going to do it. And sometimes our worst enemy is ourself. We're good sometimes at keeping the word to everybody else, keeping our word for everybody else, the promises that we make to everybody else. But sometimes it's hard to keep the word that we make to ourselves sometimes. Amen. But Jesus did do what he promised he would do. He rose to the grave. He became for believers the guarantee that one day if we should die before he comes back to the earth at the rapture, we shall come back from that grave. Amen. He's going to bring us back. 1 Corinthians 15:20 tells us that Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruits of a great resurrection harvest of those who died. Romans 6:9 tells us, because we know that Christ, the anointed one, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. It's no longer master of those who belong to him. You know, if I go or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. But I'm going to live here as long as I possibly can and do what I know to do for the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells us, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet him in the air. Wow. So as Christians, we no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to fear death because we have an incredible hope, the hope that one day we will be with God forever. And because Jesus rose from the grave, God had that long-range plan. He's never without a plan. And like I've said and told you so many times before, the reason that we can have so much peace and not have to fear tomorrow, because Jesus has already walked it out. He's already walked our future out. And he said, come on, let's walk this middle part out. Let's partner together and walk this thing out. So it's not a hope so. It's a hope, but it is a no-so hope. You know, you heard in the old Baptist church, I remember the older people getting up, I have a knowing of my salvation. So death, where's your sting? Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Here we go again, the key holder, Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, church, we have an awesome Savior. And awesome in the fact that he came from God. Awesome in the fact that he was born a virgin. Awesome because he lived a life without sin. And awesome because he came out of the grave victorious over life. And at the same awesomeness that is in Jesus Christ is available to all of us to help us live a life that honors him. An overcoming life in this earth now. And you know, with God in our heart through Jesus, we have victory over the past. In the here and now, which is the present and for eternity. He's got us covered, church. He's got us covered. Resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it means the promise of life after death. It means hope of a better life now. And the words, he is not here, but he is risen. He is not here, but he is risen. Changed the course of history, and it continues to do so today. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, it's the reason why we live on this earth. It's the basis of our faith as believers, the resurrection of Jesus. As children of God, we get to share in that victory, amen? We get to be part of that victory. We get to live in that victory. In other words, we have overcome death in the name of Jesus. Because as I said before, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in us. The resurrection is not just something we celebrate once a year. It helps us to refocus and reset and puts our mind back on it again. Yes. Do the bunny thing. Do the eggs thing. Do the dinners and do all those things. But not today because we're told not to. But you go ahead and do the bunny thing and the eggs and all of that. But in the midst of having that fun and that fellowship and that joy, remember the reason for the celebration. It's because of Jesus, the one held the key to life and death. But in the midst of all that, remember whose you are and why you are. Amen. The tomb is empty. Won't you come and see? The key holder has risen and our past is taken care of. Our future is secured. And the life we live in the position, we live from the position of victory. He is indeed risen. Amen. He is indeed risen. People can serve all other kinds of God, but we serve the one that did rise from the grave, that did come out. Amen. And he's seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we are seated there with him. And that is how we live life, from that place, from that position of a heavenly view of things. That's where we get our view from. Amen. So I want to give you a few moments right now, get your communion together, and we're going to pray and we're going to receive this today together as a church, as a family of God. Amen. So get your juice or whatever liquid you have today, and we're going to go through this. Father, we just thank you for your word today to put us in remembrance that our past, present, and future has been taken care of. And on that resurrection morning, he came out of the grave. Hallelujah. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. But you give us, Lord, not that spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, according to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Jesus' sacrifice covered every area of man's existence. God gave everything he had to redeem us from the curse, mankind from the curse, receiving his body and his blood. So now we receive communion together as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are free from the works of Satan, spirit, soul, and body. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. Because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in torment, unforgiveness, that his blood was shed in our behalf, we acknowledge that he bore sickness, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. Through his substitutionary sacrifice, we have complete redemption, total deliverance from the work of Satan. And now as new creations in Christ Jesus, we realize their freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we give thanks for it all in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this you often as you drink. Remember it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Let us partake of the cup together. Wow. I just believe right now that bodies are being healed. There's a peace coming over you like you haven't experienced for a long time. I believe that unforgiveness is coming out of you today. I just believe that sorrow and grief and fear are departing from you right now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I believe that strife is leaving homes right now in the name of Jesus. The power that's in the blood of Jesus. Amen, hallelujah. Father, we give thanks to you for all you have provided for us in Christ Jesus. And we confess this day that we are the blessed of the Lord. This covenant we entered into at the new birth is a covenant filled with great, exceeding precious promises. And we are partakers of those promises now. We are healed. We are redeemed. We are delivered from the authority of darkness. We are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We come behind in no good thing. All that we set our hands to do is prospers, and we praise you, Father, for the newness of life we now enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. New life, you all have a blessed week. Have a blessed week. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep standing on the promises of God, because that's the truth that's going to prevail. Quit listening so much to the news and what they have to say, but get into the Word and believe the report of the Lord. We shall overcome. Amen. Be blessed.